Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in. Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, 80s action star Colton Stone. Breathe easy, Nebraska fans. Just final, New York City, the Michigan Wolverines survive the Fighting Fran McCaffreys in Iowa in overtime, 77-71. Watching this thing, the final 2 minutes in regulation. Michigan's up, then Bohannon and Iowa start mad bombing from three-point land, and then Michigan's up in overtime, and then Michigan says, give me a cigarette and a blindfold, and let's shoot free throws like we're trying to win a stuffed panda at a carnival. They about hosed it away for your beloved Cornhuskers and the opportunity for validation. But the beer half full of this thing. Can say this, can talk yourself into it. I don't know. Maybe Michigan's just freaking exhausted tomorrow. Huh? Because I know you're not going to be. We want to see you down at Longwell's. 12:30, 1:30's tip for Nebraska-Michigan. We can say Nebraska-Michigan now is beelines, comb-overs, dripping wet. But the watch party gets rocking. 1:30 is tip off. 12:30, get down to Longwell's in the rail yard. We want to see you down there. Hail Varsity, a live road show at 4 following Nebraska, Michigan. Myself, Coach Jeff Smith, former Nebraska assistant, great coach at Lincoln Southeast. So we'll be on site for a post game show and hopefully a smiley post-game show. You can tap the line, Shillingbridge Cork and Tap House. Let's do that, 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. On Twitter, can tweet at us at Hail Varsity at Schmidt underscore radio, and can email us, Chris at HailVarsity.com. Here's the lineup today. We'll get caught up with Brandon Vogel of HailVarsity.com and magazine. We'll talk to Vogues in about 15 minutes. The pride of Ord, Andy Markowski, will be with us. Give us a preview of Nebraska-Michigan tomorrow as the field is set here. Here's what it looks like for the Big Ten now. Maryland got beat by Whiskey. Wisconsin and Michigan State, Nebraska and Michigan. Ohio State gets the winner of Penn State, Northwestern, and Purdue. Tomorrow gets the winner of Indiana. And who did I miss? Illinois didn't win. Indiana's playing somebody. My internet's all fritzy right here. So, listen. You knew in New York City, Nebraska had to have that validation opportunity. Some of you have already stamped them, and God love you for doing it. Many of us haven't because of the resume. You need the resume to kind of match up with the eye test. And now you get a chance to do that against Michigan. And what's crazy is just the mindset coming into basketball season, called postseason, called tournament time, called March, known as madness, right? Because if you're Michigan, you've come in hot. You've been up by 30 on Maryland. You've won at Sparty. And you're like, it's Iowa. What does Iowa do aside from have Cook and Bohannon? Iowa says, forget defense, let's just jack shots up and call it a contest. Now, Iowa played a little bit of defense to get into overtime, but my point is Iowa traps you. They keep buying you beers and they trap you. Just keep shooting. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about defending us because you're going to tell us we can't make it from there. And conversely, we won't defend you. Now, with all that being said, Michigan, here's what I'm scared about tomorrow if you're a Nebraska fan. it's lining up. You were first and foremost frightened that Michigan almost screwed the pooch here. Almost did you a Antichrist solid and sent you Iowa. Which means you have to get Sparty and beat Sparty. Assuming you would have gotten by Iowa. Now you get Michigan. So you get Michigan. You're thinking you might get a tired Michigan. And are you going to get a Michigan that goes 3 of 19 from three-point land? Abdul Rahman was cold. Wagner fouled out. So there's kind of some of the math for you as to why it was an overtime win for Michigan. But what are you going to get tomorrow? What type of Michigan are you going to get? And can you still receive full credit? Or is there going to be some bracketologist out there going, well, you know, you played Michigan and beat them twice, but you beat them on a neutral spot, and then you got them at home. So it's not that impressive of a win. There's going to be that out there. Hopefully not. But you never know how offended some of these math guys are with Nebraska fans challenging them. Bottom line here, 77-71, Michigan over Iowa. Had to happen, needed to happen, and you get your crack at Michigan and beyond. Now, here's another question. Dare I go into this dark portion of the lagoon? What if Wisconsin, who just played Michigan State and almost beat Michigan State, decides to man up and win? So this could have been your scenario if you're Nebraska. Michigan gets knocked out by Iowa. You beat Iowa. Sparty's your lead-in tomorrow. They get knocked off by Wisconsin. Purdue's been very schizo the last few games. So I guess, hey, Nebraska would have been the first team excluded from an automatic bid because they didn't beat anybody in their conference championship. That could have been a narrative from a bracketologist. Moving on. Nebraska getting focused. We'll get into some Sean Miller comments here in a minute as the Arizona coach says, hit me, doubles down, says, hit me again. He is not afraid, or he knows something I don't, or you don't, or we. He just doesn't care. Go ahead, fire me with cause. Hand me the $10 million. So with Nebraska basketball, what's the message if you're Coach Miles going in? Well, Iowa was talked about and Michigan was talked about, but you kind of had to do you. So your approach to New York, if you're Nebraska, Coach Miles, before they departed yesterday, and I think Nebraska's going in here not kind of happy-go-lucky, not cheery, but straight-up laser-focused.
Yeah, well,
it's the elephant.
Yeah, so what we said is, listen, your thinking has to be single-minded about a Big Ten championship. If you're worried about how many you got to win, if you're putting emotional energy into the internet or whether it's going out there, you're probably wasting your emotional energy. And at this time of year, nobody needs to do that.
Great take. Can it be a reality? If you're Nebraska basketball, you're in New York City, you're watching, I would think, that game, and you're kind of living and dying with what Michigan does. Because deep down, you're going to take it one game at a time. You know you can only control who's on your schedule. That's in for sure a fact for Nebraska basketball this season especially. But man, you're gripping a table. You're freaking out. Michigan at 25-7. Here's the other thing. And I heard the Big Ten analysts talking about this. Well, Michigan's in. And I know they have some, air quote, quality wins, and they have a road win at Sparty. But if they would have gotten knocked out by Iowa, and say Nebraska would have played Iowa and beaten Iowa and loses by 5 to Sparty, How big a difference is 25-8 and 23-10 with the head-to-head? That's all I'm asking. A lot of questions about happened. And Duncan Robinson, someone needs to buy you a steak dinner in New York City tonight for Michigan because you actually took and made three-point shots. You know, let's talk a little bit here about what Nebraska is walking into tomorrow, and that is rest versus rust. Do you subscribe to it? Coaches do. Are you worried about it as a Nebraska fan that you've had some time off? The way James Palmer shot down the stretch, I'm all for some recharging and not having to play an extra day and getting him right physically. I'm good with. But the beneficiary of that double bye, Coach Miles spent some time on that.
It's good. There's no doubt about it. Get some rest, some shots. But, you know, you always worry about the competitive impact. We played so few games here in February compared to what January was like. You worry about that.
This has been a roller coaster for the guys. They've slammed in four games in 8 days. They've had a week off. And they're going to have a week off no matter how things shake out in New York. We'll get to Coach Miles' comments on guard play, and I think that's going to be very special for Nebraska if they do put a run together. We talked about it a little bit yesterday with Searles and with Jay about just James Palmer and what kind of James Palmer are you going to get? Are you going to get mid-season, full tank of gas, James Palmer Jr.? Nobody's got a full tank right now, but how much is left? I think a lot. But can you get that efficient James Palmer? And can you get the return of early season, early form, Glenn Watson Jr.? So let's go to that here with Nebraska. Cut 8, guard play. And Coach Miles mentioned why it's important. And it is highlighted by about every analyst out there. And coaches go to it. For wins, that's how Iowa tied this thing and sent it to overtime, was guard play.
Certainly guard play is always important. And ball in hand, guys, whenever you have a finite number of time for each possession, there's going to be skill to end that possession. And that usually ends up in a guard's hands. So same thing, end of a game, end of a clock. People pay so much more attention to the finality of the NCAA tournament, which is a one and done and you're out. Okay. The Big Ten tournament, which is a one and done and you're out. That those things are accentuated, I think, a great deal.
How about now? How's the guard play working for Nebraska? How you feel about the guard play? Coach Miles hit on that.
I think Glenn, last two games, played pretty well. His numbers have come out pretty well in how we measure him. I think he's in a good spot. You know, Anton Gill looked good shooting the ball the other night. Palmer's a guard. He struggled against Penn State, but then again, he's practiced really well. So we are always a work in progress, but at the same time, I trust our guys.
You're on court. Performance MVP has been James Palmer Jr. with a close second, Copeland. And kind of your honorable mention has been the versatility of Roby. If we're talking teammate, and this isn't warm, fuzzy, hug it out, let's kumbaya, but it's a reality that has ripped basketball teams apart. Your MVP from a chemistry and a maturity standpoint has been Glenn Watson. With how he's handled his transition, how he's come to work playing defense, how he's come to work trying to facilitate, and how he's come to work maybe as kind of the X factor again, just like the beginning of the year. Well, how's Glenn going to be? How's Glenn going to be? Well, think if he gets hot and kind of picks up some steam heading into New York City. Playing better at the end of the regular season, yes. But what if he goes back to 15-10, Glenn, with Palmer doing Palmer things, with Cope doing Cope things, with Roby doing Roby things? That's something to think about. Watson's role was mentioned and commented on by Coach Miles.
You know, Glenn's had to change his situation. He went from a go-to guy, one of the top two shot getters in the offense for maybe 2 years, a year and a half, to now playing with Palmer, playing with Copeland, you know, and having shooters still there that he can deliver the ball to, so adapting his game accordingly. And I think he's done it really well, and he's done it without any ego. And he's got a great attitude and just wants the best for the team.
That's not lip service. You've seen that with his intensity and his mindset towards defense. So we'll spend some time talking hoops, get into Vogue's hot reads, too, on the Frost offense, what he's inheriting with Nebraska, and what to tell you about Madonna Proactive. Had a chance to go get an incredible workout last night, got some laps in. The swimming lap lane is my friend and where I go to kind of work out. Junior shot hoops. I want you to take a tour. I want you to go check out Madonna Proactive, 56th and Pine Lake. When it comes to health, fitness, and wellness, Madonna Proactive can help you, 56th and Pine Lake. Call and schedule that tour and just see how gorgeous the facilities are for you. 402-420-0000. Madonna Proactive can offer individualized personal training, beginner and advanced classes, along with a variety of fitness equipment. The three pools there are awesome. Lincoln's only aqua track. And I tell you what, they have a walking track upstairs, a yoga studio, a spinning studio, a TRX studio. 130 classes offered each week. They have basketball courts. They have pickleball. And they want to have you visit today, 56th and Pine Lake, madonnaproactive.org.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Blair Kirchhoff, 1 hour from now. Eddie Markowski, 5 o'clock to get things tipped off. Welcome in with HailVarsity.com and magazine. Brandon L. Vogel, at Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter, author of Dream Like a Champion with John Cook, and tremendous writer with HailVarsity.com and magazine. Vogues, you were doing what during the last moments of regulation and overtime with Michigan and Iowa?
Watching it on my couch while also scrolling through Twitter, which is pretty much, sad as it is to say, how I consume most sporting events the past 2 years, I'm afraid.
Yeah, I was getting ready to launch here, screaming at a computer. not Twitter. Colton's like, no, you were yelling at me. I was not. We were trying to find Tim Miles' audio that somebody had edited earlier and the computer marvelously put into a black hole. So, anywho, we're good. Nebraska's good. Michigan's good. All happy. But how much ledge walking did you witness?
A little bit. I mean,
yes.
You know, there seems to be, I don't know, it seems, at least based on the poll that we currently have up on our site, it seems like some Nebraska fans feel better about where the Huskers stand before tomorrow's game than maybe you or I do. So it tempered it a little bit, but you know, everyone knew that Nebraska doesn't just need wins. I mean, well, it needs that, but it needs a chance to bolster its resume. Iowa doesn't really offer that. So ultimately, this is, you know, going to overtime with the team you need to beat isn't bad, having them play an overtime game the day before. So all things told, it was probably the perfect result.
Well, here's my fear if I'm a Nebraska fan, as well as they have defended three-point land against Michigan when they had to. They were great. Is Michigan going to go 3-19 2 days in a row?
Well, yeah, that I was having those thoughts as I watched that game as well.
I was rocking back and forth thinking them and kind of muttering them out loud. You were on your couch, and I get that.
Yeah. Chris is rooting for Michigan to make some shots because you're like, you know, eventually over a long enough span, these numbers even out. It's one of those things where you kind of look at it like, well, you look at it like the team going into the NBA finals where one had a long layoff and the other one didn't. You're like, is this good or is this bad? And you can see both sides. But I was kind of leaning towards Michigan's probably not going to shoot this poorly 2 days in a row. You also add in when you survive a game like that, I think you can get a little bit of a boost the next day. So we'll see what happens.
Brandon Vogel's with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine. Vogues, what's your feel here 24 hours now for a little less than? What's your feel with Nebraska and Michigan tomorrow then? Do you, what advantage? Who has the advantage, I should say? Do you look at Michigan, kind of the revenge slash, all right, we've seen you once before, or do you see Nebraska having the advantage because of this, you know, steely-focused mindset of doing what they got to do, knowing that, look, everyone on HailVarsity.com's message board site or all the folks on Twitter can feel like we're in, great, we know we got work to do. Who do you think's going in tomorrow for tip-off feeling better?
I might give a slight edge to Michigan just because of how dominant that first game was for Nebraska. Anytime you have that revenge angle, I think the motivation becomes a little bit easier. But, you know, Nebraska has a lot to play for, too. So if there's any advantage at all there, it's probably pretty small. Nebraska has known it needed this matchup. It's probably been mentally preparing itself for this matchup. So they've got plenty at stake too. You know, ultimately it comes down to in March, and you know, this is sort of a cliched thing to say, but how well are you going to shoot it? Jacob Padilla did a good story today on that. Like, Nebraska will come out and it'll probably play pretty good defense tomorrow. It might be decided on how much offense they bring with them, which has been a story for Nebraska all season long when it went on the road.
Yeah, they've gotten just enough for true road games, and from a neutral side standpoint, they didn't fare well in the neutral spots. Now, this is a whole different situation and scenario. Vogues, I want to switch gears over to your hot reads. And your exploration of Central Florida and kind of looking at what Nebraska has and what is being inherited on offense. And with some of the numbers, explosive plays, passing numbers, rushing numbers, and efficiency, what do you kind of come up with here based on what you saw at an optimum level really thriving for Central Florida versus projecting what you have in the cupboard at Nebraska with some unknowns, i.e. the quarterback spot?
Yeah, that's kind of why I, you know, went down that path over the weekend. I just wanted to see sort of like, okay, what are the gaps here? And what are, you know, what were the places where Nebraska was actually, you know, even better than UCF? And there weren't a whole lot of those, of course. And the one number that really jumped out to me for all of the amazing stats that UCF put up, his average third down distance, which is a bit of a specific number, admittedly, but can be telling, it didn't fit the profile of everything else they were doing on offense. And I really think something like that, as well as the number of times UCF had zero to negative yards in rushing plays, a stat which is called stuff rate, was relatively low too. And I think as we look towards 2018 with Nebraska, they're not going to be what UCF was last year. I don't think anybody expects that. But I do think they might be able to hit some of those efficiency numbers. And these are numbers that I consider sort of efficiency metrics. They're probably not going to be as explosive. But if they can do some of those little things, I think that's going to be a really good way to kind of measure how this progression into a new offensive scheme is going.
Vogues, third down's a key part of situational football. The number you got with Central Florida a year ago, third down attempts, just 17.8% of the total number of plays. That's tied for second with Okie State and just behind Oklahoma, two insane offenses. And I'll be honest with you, when I think of Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, I don't think of third down a lot because they're scoring on about every other play but third down. It could be second and eight. It could be first and ten. They're that explosive. What do you kind of project with the third down approach by Frost? Be in the same situation, it'd be great, you know, where it's not a real big concern because you're scoring so much and doesn't have to be on third down. But do you think they'll be able to settle in and have some key go-tos that will convert? Because third down's been an issue, and third and short's been a monster issue for Nebraska for a while.
Yeah, well, I think what this last UCF team proved was don't get into third downs.
Eliminate the problem.
when their average third down was over 7 yards, which ranked, I think, 90th nationally or somewhere around there, They still converted at an insane rate, somewhere above 40%, which ranked in the top 20, which tells you just how good they were offensively. But as I looked at all of those numbers, I really came away impressed with the passing game. The run game could still hurt you for UCF, but the passing game was just really, really tough to deal with. So how does that translate to Nebraska? Well, you know, you've got two top line receivers, two all conference caliber receivers. It just matters which quarterback's going to be able to make the decisions that you ask him to make. And I don't think we know that yet. But that's kind of the ideal part. That's the way Nebraska gets from A to B in this new offense the fastest, is if it does have a quarterback, he's capable of making some pretty good decisions.
Vogues, a thought here with the team psyche. Now, we hear about culture. You hear about commitment. And Frost is about doing those things the right way, and it's doing things versus – it's not time, right? It's not – just the time factor, but it's the right way. It's, you want it done fast or do you want it done right? You want it done right is the Frost answer. From a Nebraska standpoint, though, do you worry about the team's psyche, some hangover, so to speak, being 4-8 a year ago? Or can that be punted, wiped out, eradicated just because it is a new staff?
Well, I think there's a chance that it can. When I had the chance to talk to some UCF players at the Peach Bowl, you got a sense that when this staff showed up in 2016, it was really freeing. The staff gave them the freedom to, like, you know what, if you want to wear earrings, wear earrings. If you want to wear your hair in a mohawk, wear a mohawk. We don't care about that stuff. Like, you should want to have fun and be a college kid and do those things. And that was an 0-12 team. So they were coming back from deeper depths than Nebraska, at least in terms of total record. So I think you'll see that with Nebraska again. It'll feel a little bit like, hey, this is fun. Like, we like doing this more than we liked doing it last year. I'm assuming here. I don't know if that's the case, but I think that's how you get around some of that. Like, and the coaches all talk about that a lot. The other key idea I think really has a chance to carry some weight is the no fear of failure sort of saying that the coaches keep coming up with. And if you think about it, really, when's the last time Nebraska could say that it truly felt that? You know, as the years have gone on, and it's been, when's Nebraska going to get back? When are they going to sort of reclaim what they once were? I don't think you had a lot of teams that went into the season saying, hey, whatever happens, happens. We're not going to be afraid of that.
Well, when's the last time they've had a head coach that wasn't afraid of failure?
Well, and that's true. And I think that's a good indication of how tough this job can be if you don't have a plan for attacking it.
Brandon Vogel, HailVarsity.com and magazine. Read his hot reads. Great rundown on the Central Florida offense and what you have with the Nebraska offense. Really good read. Vogues, we'll be at a watch party tomorrow down in the rail yard. I know you'll be monitoring, and then you and Jacob and Derek will have things cranked up and ready to go, along with Babbers, in response to Nebraska, Michigan tomorrow. I can't wait. You got a prediction for me?
I'll take Nebraska to get it done. I said Michigan might have a slight advantage, but Nebraska has a lot on the line. I think James Palmer plays well. That might be the difference.
I think so, too, and I think some time off helps that. Vogues, be good. Thanks so much, bud.
All right, take care.
There he is, Brandon Vogel with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine. We'll give you a chance at some Imagine Dragon tickets this hour. Coming up, Andy Markowski in 20 minutes. Get his preview of Nebraska, Michigan. And, yes, Blair Kirchhoff. We'll have some thoughts on Sean Miller. You're wrong, ESPN. That's what he said today.
Chime in, 402-466-ESPN. Or email the show, Chris at HailVarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Excited to hear from Andy Markowski coming up in about 20 minutes. His preview with Michigan, Nebraska. What were you doing the final 5 minutes between the end of regulation and overtime if you were listening or watching to Iowa, Michigan, Iowa force overtime? I was sitting here in the studio and glued to BTN, occasionally glancing at Colton. Colton was pacing, and Colton couldn't even, you couldn't even eat. And you're always bringing food in here, like yams or some sort of baked chicken or whatever healthy stuff you eat. Good for you, Colton. But that's kind of the theme, avoiding disaster, right? That's what happened. As Ethan Happ is being profiled here, watch Wisconsin. Watch Wisconsin pull off an upset tomorrow. You want to talk about the biggest upset of the day? How about the brass ones on old Sean Miller? Or maybe you're Team Miller and you think he's done nothing wrong. Well, Arizona basketball coach Sean Miller. Okay, I saw press conference today, 1:30 our time. I thought it was fare thee well. And then the press conference was Sean Miller's press conference at 1:30. Well, if he's there, it's not real often you go to your own firing. Coach Riley, Coach Barnett, it. So ESPN's report, which is different than the Yahoo report, detailed his alleged involvement in a discussion to pay a potential recruit. These are the first public comments. DeAndre Ayton is incredible. You've seen him play. Now Arizona has some closure. I have some thoughts on how this happened, but we have kind of a drive-through version of the five-minute press conference with Sean Miller, his opening thoughts. Sean Miller, if you missed it, and his words, not specifically to ESPN, but you knew he was talking about.
Well, I have done nothing wrong. I am responsible for our men's basketball program, and I am sickened that we are in the spotlight for all the wrong reasons. Contrary to what has been written this past week, we do our very best to run a clean program at the University of Arizona. I have done that since the first day I stepped on this campus. I have never knowingly violated NCAA rules while serving as head coach of this great program. I have never paid a recruit or prospect or their family or representative to come to Arizona. I never have and I never will. I have never arranged or directed payment or any improper benefits to a recruit or prospect or their family or representative, and I never will. I also understand that there is an ongoing federal investigation, and because of this, I cannot do anything that might compromise the integrity of this investigation.
Here's what allows Sean Miller to come out, sit down, keep his job. And I don't know what you believe. Do you believe the guy paid somebody? When you read Schlabaugh's story, and Sean Miller has been recorded, there's federal wiretaps of him discussing $100K to a top five pick, maybe number one overall. You're like, dude's done. That was the outcry in every bar room, water cooler, barber shop, hallway. He's out. And I don't know about you, but I know about two or three Arizona Wildcat fans. They're good dudes, strange creatures. But they were all sunk last weekend. And now Sean Miller's saying, look, dude, we've never done any of this. And if you were to go informally around the world of college basketball and poll coaches about the dirty programs, Arizona'd be mentioned. Arizona'd be in that pool. Coaches may like Sean Miller. They may respect Sean Miller as far as his mind and his ability to communicate. But I don't believe that they think he's done it on the up and up. Because, listen, when you go into Arizona, you see Lute Olson, who's having some really bad health issues. You can't just go win. You got to maintain and, by the way, win. And he's still working on a Final Four appearance. He's got two Elite Eights, some incredible talent. But he's had such good talent, they've left early, and he's had to restock the old vodka bar with talent and top-shelf talent. More from Sean Miller. Listen, Sean Miller knows either They will never, ever publish audio of him on tape, or he knows it isn't his voice, or they won't be able to prove it's his voice. So he doubles down. And by the way, he's the same dude who gets $10 million to walk away for being fired with cause. More from Sean Miller.
However, on this point, I cannot remain silent in light of media reports that have impugned the reputation of me, the university, and sullied the name of a tremendous young man, DeAndre Ayton. Let me be very, very clear. I have never discussed with Christian Dawkins paying DeAndre Ayton to attend the University of Arizona. In fact, I never even met or spoke to Christian Dawkins until after DeAndre publicly announced that he was coming to our school. Any reporting to the contrary is inaccurate, false, and defamatory.
Defamatory. His tone and his body language with this, though, is either he's a really good actor or he is straight up pissed. Last thought from Sean Miller.
I'm outraged by the media statements that have been made and the acceptance by many that these statements were true. There was no such conversation. These statements have damaged me, my family, the university, DeAndre Ayton, and his incredible family. The only attempted corrections by the original source of the media statements are still inaccurate and completely false. I also want you to know that the one time that someone suggested to me paying a player to come to the University of Arizona, I did not agree to it. It never happened, and that player did not come to the University of Arizona. Out of respect for this ongoing investigation, the privacy of the student athlete and his family, I'm not going to share further details concerning this matter. I appreciate more than anyone can realize Dr. Robbins and the university carefully considering this matter and acting upon facts. I have been completely open and transparent, and I look forward to coaching this outstanding team as we seek to capture a Pac-12 regular season championship this week.
I'm back. You besmirched me. I didn't do any of this. And he made it kind of sound like it was a big deal to not mess with a guy that was worth $100,000. See? The only time it came up, we didn't recruit the player. Did you get outbid? Or is he just George Costanza? The Regents met today to get legal advice. They got the legal advice. They went forward. Imagine being Arizona and having to fire your head football coach and your basketball coach. That it was almost a reality, but Arizona's going to hang with Sean Miller. We'll see what Arizona can do in the Pac-12 tournament and in the NCAA tournament. We'll wind down Hour 1 with Hail Varsity.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Time to get caught up with Deb the Spa Lady, Home Innovation Spas, 20th and Highway 2 in Lincoln, up in Omaha, spasonline.com. This is Deb's favorite time of year. March means hot tub season. March means basketball. Deb, how are you?
Yes, March means madness, and it is. We need some stress relief. When we get into these tournaments, it's going to be so crazy and so fun. So you need to come in, take a look at everything that we have. We've got every size, every shape, every color. We have hot tubs that plug into one pen. We have the big fancy swim spas and everything in between. We can make it happen right away.
You know what? It'll take some of that stress off the bracket, right?
Uh-huh, that's right. We have those swim spas. I'd say that's the final four for sure in our book. And we're delivering a lot of those. Those are perfect because in Nebraska, you can swim and exercise outside year-round in a swim spa.
Absolutely. Deb the Spa Lady, 20th and Highway 2. See Deb in Lincoln, a location in Omaha, Home Innovation Spas and spasonline.com. You have a great tournament, Deb, and we'll get caught up.
Okay, that sounds great, Chris. Thanks.
You know, Deb's such a KU fan. She cheers on Nebraska. And you haven't lived till you've watched a tournament game from a hot tub. It's pretty awesome. Pretty good stuff. Coming up, Andy Markowski, 10 minutes away. He'll get caught up with us here at Hail Varsity. Preview Nebraska, Michigan. Get his shot and thought on Sean Miller of Arizona. And then Blair Kirchhoff, Kansas City Star. Blair's covered a lot of NCAA basketball for many years, Kansas City Star, Big 8, Big 12, Big 10, SEC. I mean, he's seen it all. He has got a national perspective, so we'll hear from Blair and get his take on Nebraska's case at this point in the year. Now, I got to ask you, Colton, how many folks do you run into that say, yeah, they're in, them being Nebraska?
Not. More people say they need to beat Michigan to basically
And it's been a bit exhausting this week because it's turned into, well, no, they're in. No, no, they got to beat Michigan and then they're in. No, they got to beat Michigan and Michigan State and then they're in.
Right.
And then there's the win the whole damn thing and shut up about it.
Yeah, everyone's kind of, everyone has their
I haven't really waffled.
On.
I have not waffled.
No, I mean,
I think they need
to beat Michigan to at least kind of silence the Michigan needs
the
to be ahead
mark.
Of Nebraska. Right. And then Michigan State would kind of be like the icing on top that's like, okay, that's a lock. Because if they lose to Michigan State, but it's close,
it's still a good argument.
You could still be a play-in game.
I think so. Go see Rick. Go see Sauter Heyman. Do so. When it comes to exclusivity, they have it with Nebraska's reputation, Nebraska's exclusive dealer of pure-grown diamonds, 100% real diamonds that are grown in a lab instead of mined from the earth, and just beautiful characteristics of earth-mined diamonds that are eco-friendly and 10 to 40% less than traditional earth-mined diamonds. So between tournament games, if you're in town, if you're out and about, locations for you to go check out Pure Grown Diamonds exclusively with Sauter Heyman. You can see Rick and your friends with Sauter Heyman. 12th and O downtown Lincoln. South Point Pavilion in Lincoln. Or out west in Grand Island. Log on today, SauterHeyman.com. Eddie Markowski shortly. Blair Kirchhoff on the way. Our chat with Eric Crouch. You have basketball coverage tonight. I have a couple of really big-time games. Pius at 8:45. Before that, Southwest, your defending girls Class A champs at 7. So busy one over on KFOR for that. Eddie Markowski next to talk Husker hoops.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Yeah, three more wins, we get to shut everybody up. That's really what the message is that if we have a chance to earn our way in, let's do it. Let's focus on that opportunity, and we're capable of doing it.
Earn it. And Nebraska almost got Iowa to earn it tomorrow in New York City. Welcome into Hour 2, Hail Varsity Radio. Presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone. Excited to get caught up with the pride of Ord. Mr. Nebraska Basketball, and we welcome in Andy Markowski at Markowski_Andy on Twitter. Andy, how are you, sir?
Doing great, fellas. Yourselves?
Well, not going to lie, about an hour ago or so, it was a little tense, a little pacing going on. Not that we're rooting or anything, but I was talking to Brandon Vogel last hour, and he was on the edge of his seat on his couch. Colton was swearing, I think. I was just silent. What were you doing? You were probably working. You thought everything would be okay. Did you see the end of the Iowa-Michigan game and the overtime session, or were you just trusting things would be okay tomorrow?
No, I did have a chance to watch it. As much as we need a big win against Michigan, I was kind of indifferent because no one knows how this thing's going to play out, and that's what's crazy
You're
about
kinda right.
the selection committee. I mean, if you could have won easily against Iowa and had energy against Michigan State, everybody would have said, wow, they were thankful that Iowa won. That was a great lead into the Michigan State game. So certainly, obviously the metrics, need Nebraska to get another Q1 win, and that game is Michigan. But once again, one more win, and then you play Michigan State. So like I said, I don't know how these things play out. I still think we're in better position than some of the prognosticators, but I think if you look at paper, that tells you one thing. If you truly look at this team, how they're different in the conference season, like we're non-conference, you've dissected the Kansas game, the Creighton game. You know, some of those games versus just looking at the score, the result, it tells a different story. And, you know, I'm hopeful that the committee will peel the onion back because this team has had an NCAA tournament type season.
Andy Markowski is with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Andy, let's talk about tomorrow and let's go through some of the bullet points for tomorrow's tip-off, 1:30, Michigan-Nebraska. How do you see this thing going? What do you do if you're Coach Miles, knowing that you did it before, you did it very handily before to Michigan? And if you're Michigan, you just survived Iowa, and Iowa's really talented on offense, and they can kind of lull you into a shootout. Now, they defended Michigan well, or at least shots weren't dropping for Michigan from downtown. But how does Michigan approach tomorrow? Kind of give me both sides of the aisle.
Well, you certainly, both teams are probably playing the best of any Big Ten team. If you look at the back nine, you know, in conference play, I think Michigan's, you know, only lost a couple, and Nebraska's only lost a couple themselves. So they're very similar teams from a personnel standpoint. I mean, Wagner is a very difficult matchup at the five. So when teams play big, you know, Michigan can really spread them. They, you know, they use drill drive and kick for threes, very similar to Nebraska's small lineup. But I think Nebraska is a little bit more versatile in the sense of we can play big if we need to with Jordy. Jordy certainly has had, you know, a fairly solid last five to seven games. He's not playing a ton of minutes, but it does allow us to look at some different, you know, different lineups and gives teams some different actions to prepare for and defend. You know, the game in Lincoln, I you know, Chris, that was so long ago. I really don't think that has any, you know, everybody wants to talk about, you know, Michigan's got revenge and Nebraska's got a win for the tournament. You know, once the ball's tipped, I think all that goes away. You know, this is postseason basketball. Both teams are going to be ready to play. Both teams will be well prepared. You know, certainly, I think one of the reasons why Michigan maybe struggled against Iowa is they probably spent some time preparing for Nebraska through the week. And I thought Iowa, you know, bothered them with some actions that I didn't think Michigan was prepared for. But to me, to win a conference tournament or win games, it comes down to the teams that shoot the basketball. Nebraska's, you know, number one in the Big Ten in three-point percentage defense. Michigan's probably the best three-pointing team, and whoever wins that battle is going to win the game tomorrow.
I think you're right, and call me superstitious, but if a team goes 3-for-19 the night before, I don't see them doing it again the next night.
Yeah, sure, certainly they've proven that they're a good shooting team. So they're going to make more than three threes. It'll be great for Nebraska if they go 3-for-19 again. But you know, they can't have a, you know, Michigan's capable of going 12 of 16, you know, 13 of 18. And if you allow them to have that type of game, you're just not going to score enough to beat them. I do think Nebraska can score against them because we can spread Michigan out. I think they're okay defensively. You know, I think they've had a better season because I think they've been a better defensive team than maybe what they thought they would be coming into the season with the amount of young kids that they're playing. But Nebraska does match up to them well with our death lineup, as it's called, with Roby at the five. And I think that really bothered them in Lincoln. And hopefully we can do some similar things to slow them down. And then we got to shoot it. I mean, we have got to make shots on a neutral floor. I always think it's an advantage to have played a game. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think fatigue hits you in game two. I think fatigue starts to hit you in game three and four in conference tournaments. So I always think the team that has kind of played a game, got a feel for the environment, the arena, got a sweat in, you know, so Michigan certainly could have a little advantage early, but I think that kind of balances out as the game goes on as well.
Nebraska, and I don't have the box score pulled up, and again, you're right, that was end of January when they played and beat Michigan. That said, Nebraska was so deadly with their efficiency on drive and kick threes against Michigan. Nebraska drove and drove and then drove again to the rim. Do you take that same type approach specifically since it is a neutral floor and everyone but Copes just heard about how cool Madison Square Garden is?
Yeah, I mean, that, you know, that's Nebraska is not going to change what they do, you know, offensively. You know, they do have, like I said, I do like that they can play different styles. They can, you know, play small. They can play big. You know, they can throw it on the block to Jordy, or they can use Jordy in more ball screens, which, you know, don't allow teams to switch. A lot of teams are switching the Roby at the five to you know, to the 1-2 or three, 5-2 or 5-3 ball screen. So, you know, we have the ability to play some different styles. So that, I think that gives us an advantage to see what's working. But, you know, ultimately, you know, Nebraska is going to figure out a way to get threes, whether it's penetrate and pitch or use the ball screen or just play fast in transition. It's going to come down to, you know, guys like Gill and Copeland and Palmer, which hasn't shot the ball great over the last three or four games. To win these games, you've got to make shots. It sounds simple. But basketball is a complex game. But when you make shots, it becomes easier on everybody. And the team that does that tomorrow is certainly going to have a chance to win.
Do you expect Palmer to be a bit fresher?
You know, this is the first time that he's gone through this. You know, he's a transfer from Miami that didn't play. He sat out last year. So as you talk about freshmen, you know, hitting the wall, mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes kids that haven't played a lot can start to break down. You know, certainly I thought James's mental focus through the middle of the season was great. Mm-hmm. So you wonder if he's starting to fatigue a little bit. You know, teams are certainly doing some things defensively that are bothering him. But then you see, I thought Watson had a lot more freedom in that Penn State game than he's had because they did do a good job on Palmer. So once again, Nebraska's, you know, very, very versatile, and it's going to be hard to try to, you know, key on Copeland or Palmer, because I do think we have enough other scorers that can hurt you if, you know, if you give too much focus. But I wonder if Palmer isn't, you know, getting tired, but certainly having that extra day rest could help a guy like James, you know, and he's going to need to have a good game for them to be successful in the postseason.
What do you remember about your first ball game, the moments before your first ball game in a kind of a show-up, show-out type situation in the conference tournament?
Well, it's just different. You know, you play on the road, you know, you have the students that are there, and, you know, everything's kind of scripted. When you play a conference tournament, you really don't know what to expect. You know, there's opposing fans there. There's all different types of colors in the arena. You know, there's an energy in the street. You know, you're in a hotel that tends to have multiple teams or fans from different teams. So there's just a lot going on. But, you know, the years that we had a lot to play for, my junior year, you know, we're in the semis, you know, knowing that you're potentially playing for a conference championship or to get in the NCAA tournament, the same thing as my senior year, we're in the semis. I mean, those are games that you remember. I mean, I think back to my career. I think I played in 126 games at Nebraska. You only remember about a quarter of them. And the conference tournament, the NCAA tournament, the games against Kansas and the Texas, those are the games that stand out. And I can remember more of the conference tournament games than I can the non-conference games or even some of the conference games in the regular season. So these are memorable games. It's the games that you want to play well in, especially in a place like the Garden, you know, an NBA venue. You know, you dream of, you know, a lot of these guys that are playing in this Big Ten tournament probably dream of playing in the NBA. So being on that stage, it's exciting. And you know, unfortunately, being excited is only one part. You got to prepare and you got to play well. And those two things are a lot harder to do.
Did you guys wander down to Westport at all?
We did. We ventured out after.
I knew that. The guys before you maybe ventured out before.
yeah, no doubt. They, you know, we had some characters on our team, but certainly I thought you were going to ask about the Garden. My last memory of the Garden is when we won the NIT in 96, and we pull up to the hotel after we beat you know, St. Joe's in the finals. It's, you know, it's probably 10:30 East Coast time. And, you know, we're flying out the next morning and the bus pulls up in front of Marriott Marquis, which is Times Square. And Danny stood up and he said, "Hey boys, the bus leaves at 7. If you're not on the bus, you're not going home." So that was our green light to hit the city. And we all made it to the bus. No one got in trouble or arrested, but nowadays that probably doesn't fly, but 96, you know, you had a little bit more freedom and Danny wanted us to, to go celebrate, and we certainly tried to tear down New York City, but it was harder than we thought.
Well, so. it's his stomping grounds. I mean, he's a New York guy.
Yeah, no, that was you know, you talk about games and trips that you remember. I certainly remember that one.
Well, that was an incredible run and finish, cutting the Nets down in Madison Square Garden. Andy Markowski is with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Andy, a couple minutes here. Did you have a chance to see or hear Sean Miller's response to ESPN?
I did not watch the press conference. So, yeah, I kind of followed it on Twitter. Mm-hmm. My thought is, you know, you're innocent until proven guilty, right? I mean, I believe in that. Sometimes, you know, our society doesn't allow those things to play out. But, you know, Sean Miller only has one play here, right? And it's to deny and fight. You know, who knows what his contract looks like in terms of what he would be paid if he was fired with cause.
Mm-hmm.
His college career is over if proven guilty. And it may be over anyway. My feeling is, you know, it's he's going to have to fight and deny it. And if they end up coming up with the evidence and the proof, then he goes away. But, you know, if he doesn't do anything and doesn't deny it, you know, he's going to be fired. So I just think it's his only play. I think he had 4 or 5 days to lawyer up and get a game plan together. And you're seeing that game plan. My point is, why didn't he come out the day of or the next day if he truly knew he was innocent? You know, this is a lawyer play and, you know, who knows that he may be proven innocent, but my gut tells me that, you know, he knows this is his only chance is to deny. And hopefully there's no evidence or proof and somehow he gets off, but, time will tell. I think more and more is going to come out and certainly the FBI has something. ESPN just didn't make this up. Mm-hmm. You respect them as a journalist, company. So I'm assuming there's a little bit more smoke than probably what's been out there, and we'll see how it plays out because, you know, if he didn't do it, you know, good for him. But we all know that something's went on with that many people being named.
Well, and if you're Arizona, think about this. I mean, you just blew out Rich Rod. You had a mess on down there. And the best thing you have going athletically is your basketball program. It's not your football program. And Sean's won, and he's been there for 9 years. So, Mo Islands, just stick with you and see what happens. I think you're right. The timing of this is in part because you're putting things together. We'll see what does come out, and maybe he's betting nothing is ever released. Maybe you can't prove that I did anything. Who knows? So, there we have it with him. Eddie Markowski, Pride of Ord. Former Husker standout with us, Hail Varsity Radio at Markowski Andy on Twitter. Andy, we'll get caught up with you. We'll be watching you during the state tournament as well, bud. Thanks for a few minutes.
All right. Thanks, Freddy.
Take care, bud. There he is, Andy Markowski with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Blair Kirchhoff going to be with us in about 5 minutes, get his take on Nebraska, spend some more time on the Sean Miller. I want to remind you about texting and driving. There are stupider things to be doing, but it's a very short list. The behavior is always dangerous for every driver all the time, no matter how safely you think you can do it. And sending or receiving a text takes the driver's eyes off the road for an average of 5 seconds, like driving blind at 55. More than the length of a football field. Texting increases your crash risk by 23 times. Texting and driving in Nebraska, yep, it's illegal, with fines between $100 and $300. No text message more important than your life or the lives of your passengers or others on the roadway. This message from the Nebraska Department of Transportation and Highway Safety Office. Blair Kirchhoff on the way. Our chat with Eric Crouch this hour as well.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Let's talk some college basketball with the Kansas City Star, Blair Kirchhoff, at Blair Kirchhoff on Twitter. Blair, how you doing?
I'm good, Chris. Hope you are, too.
Doing well. Nebraska set to go in New York City tomorrow. A lot of excitement here. You've seen some of the We'll call them vintage Nebraska teams that got to dance in the NCAA tournament. Did that a lot with the Cookie Belchers and Ty Lues of the world from the Kansas City area, that region, Mexico, Missouri, and Nebraska fans hoping for a repeat of 2014 to get in. Blair, let's start with Nebraska before we get to Sean Miller and Kansas Hoops and some of the Big 12 questions out there. As you see it, a guy who's covered the NCAA tournament in college basketball for a long time, Nebraska's case is what to you? How strong do they look? How weak do they look? What do you think of Nebraska's resume and reputation right now?
Well, how Nebraska looks when you watch them play versus how they look on a profile, a little bit different. Because I think anybody who has seen the Huskers play basketball in the last, I don't know, month or so has got to be pretty impressed. And they've just pretty much taken care of business with every victory. They've beaten just about everybody that's been put in front of them. The problem is, of course, we all know, is not many of those conquests have come from the top of the Big Ten standing, and that's what leads to the profile, the resume of Nebraska not looking as good as it might ought to look for a team that has NCAA tournament aspirations. I just think that right now they're close to the bubble. I think they're just on the wrong side based on the teams that are around them with similar profiles. We know that there's some new language this year. We're talking about quadrants, victories and losses inside four quadrants. And Nebraska doesn't have enough victories, comparatively speaking, to some other programs in that first quadrant. So opportunity is there in the conference tournament, and I'd like to see the Huskers just take full advantage of this opportunity. They've been playing well lately. Just like to see them keep it going.
The thing that Nebraska's done this year is absolutely, Blair, rise to the occasion, some of those must-have games, and I'm talking Michigan in January, and I'm talking recently Penn State to end the regular season. Nebraska has been incredible at Pinnacle Bank Arena, and the only loss to Kansas, a team you know and cover well. And can Nebraska do it away from home? They've done it on the road, but now you have a neutral site with Madison Square Garden. There could be 5,000, there could be 1,000, who knows, man, it could be a capacity that likely, though, for the Big Ten championship game, which is, a few games away for Nebraska. When you look at the Big Ten, and they're obviously top-heavy, earlier results, Maryland knocked off by Wisconsin, a sub-500 team, Indiana's above 500, but a far cry from vintage Indiana, but I think that'll get back in short order for them. You know the committee pretty well. You've done some mock committee stuff. Bruce Rasmussen's been vocal about that mix between eye test and resume. What do you project, or can you? What kind of feel do you have with the committee as Selection Sunday looms here 10 days away?
Well, one thing that'll happen is Nebraska will get a full and thorough discussion. And I think they'll be one of the more curious teams presented to the committee. I think they'll spend a good deal of time talking about it. And one thing to keep in mind with the committee, we talk about the resume and the profile, but another aspect of this is committee members are each assigned conferences to follow. And I don't know who among that mm-hmm. committee is following the Big Ten, but whoever is, they're charged with bringing in some information to that committee room that might not otherwise be heard or known to the other members of that committee. So, whoever it is, let's just say for the sake of argument, it's Mitch Barnhart from the Kentucky Athletic Director who's on the committee. If he was assigned the Big Ten, he would have been watching Big Ten games, and he would have formed an opinion. And this is how a school that has been playing impressively, especially in the second half of the season, but without the wins that have been designated as quality wins, that's how they can get their case heard. I think that'll happen with Nebraska, but. But we're, of course, we're zoning in and locking in on Nebraska. I think there are, without having the information in front of me. I think there are a lot of schools that that have a similar case. Most of them are from, you know, mid-majors that don't get the opportunity to play in a lot of high-profile games. But I think what Nebraska is dealing with and looking at is something of a mid-major type of resume. Not a great record against the best teams on its schedule, but a few good wins and a lot of wins in totality. So again, I think it'll be there's a chance, but Nebraska can do itself big favors by having a successful stay in the Big Apple.
Blair Kirchhoff, Kansas City Star, with us, Hail Varsity Radio, at Blair Kirchhoff on Twitter. What do you think of Oklahoma right now, and how are the scales tipping for you if Blair is on the selection committee right now?
Well, it's just stunning the fall that Oklahoma has taken since the Big 12 SEC Challenge. They went to Alabama and lost, and that was the game that was billed as the big the big battle between Trey Young and Colin Sexton, the two really good freshman players. And Alabama emerged that day, and Oklahoma, for whatever reason, hasn't been the same team since then. Probably more coincidence than anything, but it's been stunning. And I think even though up until a couple weeks ago, Oklahoma still had as many quality victories as just about anybody in college basketball because of what they did in December and January. A committee, again, this will be discussed by the committee members. The way a team is playing currently does have an influence. It's not as much as it used to, because they talk about the entire body of work, but it does have an influence. And anybody who's seen Oklahoma play in the last few weeks can only conclude that this is a team that that has lost its edge. And if it doesn't get it back here in the regular season finale, I think they've got Iowa State at home this weekend.
Yep.
And then the Big 12 tournament. I don't know if they can slip completely out of this thing, but they can end up wearing their crimson red uniforms in the first game, which puts them as a 9 seed or worse, which would be a stunning development for a team that was ranked as high as number 4 in the country back in January.
Kansas is surging right now, and impressive wins. They've had some rough patches. They've lost at home, which they don't do under Coach Self. Big picture with Kansas and the Yahoo story and the implication and the financing, and it's not as bad, and we'll get to Sean Miller's accusations and the way he kind of rebuked that in a minute. But how's the atmosphere right now around Kansas basketball with what's potentially looming and this team that the Coach Self has called soft more than once this season?
Yeah, well, the news, the investigation in Kansas and the mother of Josh Jackson being named in the reporting that was done last week by Yahoo Sports really hasn't had an impact at all on Kansas, because that comes out when it does, and then Kansas turns around and has one of its best games of the season when it went down to Lubbock and beat Texas Tech there in what was essentially the Big 12 championship game, and then turns around when they could have had a huge letdown. Two nights later, they beat Texas at home to clinch the outright title in the Big 12. So whatever's been in the news, and a lot has been in the news, they keep it away from the floor. And this is what Kansas is. This is what they do. They when everybody else has, you know, a reason to wobble at the end of the season. Texas Tech lost Keenan Evans to, not lost, but it was slowed by an injury to its best player, Keenan Evans, and down the stretch. And it's happened in past years, but Kansas just seems to play its best ball in February, and especially the last couple weeks of the season. And that's resulted in 14 straight conference championships, which is just a mind-boggling number for any school to do that, especially in a conference that, look, it's not the best. The Big 12 isn't the best, and even though it comes out on top in the RPI a lot often, but in terms of winning national championships and going to Final Fours, it really hasn't. It's in the top four or five, but not the best. but still a competitive conference. And what Kansas has done is tremendous. And they deserve all the credit in the world for this. But hey, look, they have the best players most years, not all years, but most years. And even in years they don't, they find a way to get it done. And so I think they're locked into a number one seed now. And I actually think they've moved ahead of Xavier in terms of where they are in the overall seeding, and their path to the Final Four would be Wichita and then Omaha, instead of Wichita and Los Angeles. So I think the Jayhawks, if they don't stumble down the stretch here, I think we'll end up being the overall number three seed in the tournament.
Blair Kirkhoff, Kansas City Star, with his last thought here, Blair. Sean Miller comes out, doubles down on denial with any wrongdoing. What was your reaction to his presser?
Well, you know, it's funny. When we saw that it was going to happen, that my first thought was, okay, Arizona's going to turn him loose. But then I saw some information about, well, he was going to be at the press conference. And I thought, well, if he's going to be at the press conference, then that would be a little unusual to have him resign by reading a statement. That's usually you just put out a statement if you even do that. And so he comes, he's wearing his Arizona, you know, polo shirt and basically throws it right back in the face of the ESPN reporting that had him as the voice on the conversation that was going to, you know, that was responsible for the payment to DeAndre Ayton, the star player, basically saying he's never done anything wrong. So it's game on, really, you know, between Arizona, Sean Miller, and then the ESPN reporting that came out last Friday. But one thing that's important to note, I think, is that reporting, even though it came out the same day as the Yahoo story, these two things don't have anything to do with each other, really. Not the FBI investigation. This wasn't part of the FBI investigation. It was something separate from that. So keep that in mind. But still, you know, not a great day for college basketball. And this story is just getting started, and it's going to be a long way to go. And it's going to follow Arizona and all of these teams, really, throughout the NCAA tournament. I think it's going to be a little bit of a cloud that hangs over March Madness this year.
Blair, we'll get caught up here as we get further into March. Thanks for a few minutes today.
Okay, Chris. Take care.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back to it, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Let's talk to the newest member of Midland's football staff, Eric Crouch, back with us. Eric, congrats. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, it's great to talk to you again. And I saw the video yesterday with the team's reception with you, Coach Jamrog, and had to feel pretty awesome. Give me the timeline here, how this kind of set up for you.
Well, it happened over the last, so I would say the last 30 days, maybe a little bit more. I've kind of had an interest in coaching ever since I finished playing football. And I've spent the last 4 years growing a football program out here in Elkhorn and in Omaha and coaching. And so, you know, after I sent my son to eighth grade, or he's going up to high school, then I figured, you know, let's keep this thing going. And Jeff Jamrog just opened up an opportunity. The first time I talked to him on the phone, I actually started calling people and that I knew in the coaching world, head coaches, assistant coaches, you know, guys that have coached before or and just got their opinions. And talked to several people from, you know, Coach Osborne to Mike Leach to Turner Gill to Joe Moglia. I mean, there's just a lot of connections that I've made over the years, and it was just good to get their feedback and helping me make my decision. And I'm just excited. You know, I think I've got a lot to look forward with this group. Coach Jeff Jamrog has really done a nice job at Midland and continues to build that program, and it's a good time to be there. And there's a lot of local kids, you know, that are part of the team. And well, I told him, you know, when I had a chance to visit with him yesterday, I mean, we all share a common bond. We played high school football in Nebraska and are playing college football in Nebraska. And I'm just excited to, you know, share those memories that I had. And, you know, I learned quite a bit playing football over the years, college and professionally. I want to give back to the players on that team.
Eric Crouch with us, Hail Varsity Radio, running backs and special teams coach at Midland University. And Eric, I can understand that itch. A lot of guys that played at such a high level, once the career's done, they go into coaching because of the competitive nature that DNA you guys all have. And tell me a little bit about the Elkhorn program you built up. We'll get to some of the advice you got from the Pirate and from Coach T.O. But
you
started the Elkhorn program, and I mean, I'd see on social media from time to time you're working with the junior high age group, and what'd you love about that? What'd you learn from that?
Well, I mean, it's a lot of work. I've never been one to shy away from that. Most of it is just, you get something in your mind and you want to accomplish it. And I had a lot of help. My brother, Kyle, has been a big part in, helping that program. He had a lot of youth experience. Ryan Wilkie, a good friend of ours, is, puts a lot of time in, and we've got a tremendous football committee of seven people that, that make this thing go. And we started, like I said, about 4 years ago with the team, and it kind of morphed into some bigger opportunities with merging with baseball and softball then merging with basketball. So the Elkhorn Athletic Association's got over 3,000, families that are part of it and kids. So it's a pretty big group that's going to just continue to grow more and more. A lot of great people involved that care about the community, and it made my job easy. The unfortunate thing about, having a business and now coaching is that I'll probably have to, step away from that role. I wouldn't say 100%, but I won't be able to put as much time as I have in the last few years to that. But we've got it up and rolling. We'll train other volunteers to handle the football side. I feel very comfortable with where that's at right now. I don't have to be involved every single day to make sure that thing is going well. We've got a great committee, like I said before, and they'll do great things in the future. And I'm local. It's not like I'm leaving Nebraska or leaving my home or my business or anything I'm doing. It's just an extension of what I'm doing, who I am, and I think it'll be a lot of fun.
You have done good work in the broadcast field as well with CBS Sports and the Big Ten Network, and you've kind of shifted from that to, and you still do some broadcast work, I'd assume, when asked. I don't know when or where you'll have time with all the things you got rocking, but to kind of pick coaching with jumping into that pool, man, you got to feel pretty secure, and your heart's got to be set on it. Am I right?
Yeah. I mean, it's something that, football is a big part of my life. I mean, I know the game, and it's fun to be around a team and get out there and work to compete. I mean, that's essentially what you're doing. And at this level, it's not just about football. It's about teaching life lessons. And, I had a lot of tremendous coaches around me as I grew up and played football in my career. So, just to be able to give back. I mean, you mentioned before, what was it, something that I've learned, by the football program and just being around the kids, you learn that, you're improving lives. Seeing kids come in and leave, with more confidence and accomplishing their goals and enjoying the game of football. That to me is very, very rewarding. So I'm excited about, continuing to feel those types of feelings by being around great athletes and great people and good coaches. And like I said, this is going to be new. I mean, I've got a lot to learn in the playbook. Ryan Williams up there has a pretty good playbook going and doing some different things. So just learning all that's going to be fun for me.
What did Coach Osborne have to say to you? And then follow that up with the Pirate. Coach Leach has been a friend of our show for a long time. And so what did those two guys have to say to you?
Well, they were both very supportive. I think that's the key. Coach Osborne is just, giving advice about, what to expect, the hours and such that come along with coaching. One of the things he did mention was that, this is kind of late in my life to be getting into coaching. I think that we all understand that. But what he did mention is some of his, better coaches were ones that were on his staff that started late. They were probably in their 30s, maybe even their early 40s. He had guys like that that maybe jumped from high school right to the, college level at Nebraska. And so I don't think there's a wrong or right way to accomplish that or get involved. If you want to do it. You just got to jump into it and jump into it with everything. With Mike Leach, you know, he's a guy that I met during my work with Sirius XM Radio, and we did some a 4-hour show every day together, and then we had several events around the country that we got to know each other, and we've just kept in touch. Obviously, his advice, he started a lot small schools. You know, if you look at his career path, he's, you know, high school, small colleges, and you learn a lot by working at a small school, and you're doing it all. You know, you don't have the resources that the big schools have, so you really get a chance to dive in and get to really know if you're going to like coaching or not. And you learn a lot of those little things that help you along the way be a better coach. So they both had great advice for me. Turner Gill is another one I talked to, and, you know, he was always very complimentary of him, and I have talked a lot over the years about jumping into coaching. And, you know, one thing that he was very strong about was just making sure that it's the right move for your family and for your wife. They've got to be on board 100%. So I've got good support from my wife and my family, and I'm feeling really good about this position I'm in right now.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Did you reach out to Coach Frost at all?
You know, I haven't. Coach has been pretty busy.
I was wondering about the timeline.
Yeah, I mean, I've talked to him at a couple events, and you know, we've had our conversations, but nothing was around, you know, the coaching. I think being at a place like Nebraska, I would feel that you need some experience to jump into those jobs. For me, getting a start here with Coach Jamrog is going to be great experience for me. I mean, obviously, coaching in Nebraska would be a lot of fun, I believe, but, you know, let's take this one step at a time. And right now I've got a great opportunity, and I'm looking forward to working with the running backs and learning the special teams part of the game a little bit more than what I've ever known. I know Coach Jeff Jamrog has done a lot with his special teams group. So I'm just going to be a sponge. I'm going to be somebody that, you know, wants to, you know, put the learning cap on every day and come to work can go out there and just do a great job, you know.
Eric Crouch is with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Eric, what's going to be your message to that running back room? You were a phenomenal runner. You threw it a lot too, but man, the plays you made, the credibility you bring is incredible. How are you going to approach that that running back room?
Well, I think that this group's got to play with a lot of energy. I mean, we want to hustle. We want to play with a lot of energy and passion. And, you know, we want to be a smart group that gets the football. You know, Midland was last in their conference, so this is going to, in running last year. So I've got some challenges, and I think that we can do a lot better. You know, obviously, I think when you think of an offense, you think of running the football and establishing the run game as number one. So my goal is just going to be able to establish that. You know, get our guys running north and south, knowing the plays, in and out, knowing what guys are doing around us so that we can be better. Just have an understanding of concepts and what we're trying to do. I think, you know, I always look at, you know, Ricky Williams, you know, watching him, playing against him in college, playing with him in professional football. Ricky Williams was one of the smartest players I'd ever been around because, you know, Ricky knew he was football smart. You know, he knew that, you know, his job as a running back wasn't just to carry the football, but it was protect the quarterback. And so when you're protecting and you know how to protect and you're an extension of that offensive line, you just have so much more value in being able to play the game. And so I think once the running backs understand that, look, we've got to be selfless, we've got to do what's going to be best for our offense, they're going to find out that they're going to be in the game a lot more.
Eric Crouch, newest member of the Midland football staff. Eric, best to you. Continued success, and we'll get caught up again. Thanks for a few minutes.
Hey, you bet. Thanks, Chris.
Eric Crouch able to sit in with Chris Schmidt. Schmidt on the road covering two state basketball games tonight. One tips at 7, one will tip at 8:45. Coming up is the beer show with Gregeth and with Rob Kelly. They will be coming live to you from Granite City. Following them will be Big Ten Tournament Basketball live on KLMS 1480 or 101.5. And we want to give a thanks to Brandon Vogel coming in today, Andy Markowski, Blair Kirkhoff, as we said, Eric Crouch, and Deb, the spot lady, for giving us a little bit of time. Listen for the Roadshow tomorrow watch party at 4 p.m. Schmidt will be live. Thanks again. Hail Varsity Radio, brought to you by Nebraska Lottery.